Le Festival Nuit d'Afrique, the rendezvous of world music, invites you to the 36th edition from the 12th to the 24th of July in Montreal. Do not miss one of Brazil's most amazing vocalists, Fabiana Coza, the pillars of Jinawi tradition, Mukhtar Gania, and Jinawa Soul. The electric blues of the fabulous Don Tyler Watson. Live moments of pure beauty with a South African performance by Derek Gripper and the griot of Corazal Kisisoko. For the full program and tickets, go to festivalnuitdafrique.com.
From Turtle Island to Palestine, occupation is a crime. Free, free Palestine! You're listening to Radio Free Palestine.
Welcome everyone, you are listening to Under the Olive Tree, the Palestine Solidarity Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Stay tuned.
الحاجات مش المسألة الاستراح واللي براح لبس داير عالولا حلف بر العمر مر وما انتهتش المسألة الاستراح واللي براح لبس داير عالولا وسين وجيم مش طال جيم بيجري في بلاد الخلا سين وجيم مش طال جيم بيجري في بلاد الخلا قلت صوت تبقى بنموت وما انتهتش المسألة قلت صوت تبقى بنموت وما انتهتش المسألة ما انتهتش المسألة ما انتهتش المسألة يا حلفة بر العمر فات ولسه بقرب في الحاجات الصحات ويزيد كمان
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As President Biden prepares to visit Israel in the occupied West Bank, the United States is facing accusations it's whitewashing the killing of Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. On Monday, the State Department announced it had concluded the bullet that killed Shireen likely came from Israeli military gunfire, but stopped short of saying investigators had reached a definitive conclusion in her killing. The State Department also said her death was not an intentional killing, but the result of, quote, tragic circumstances. Shireen Abu Akleh was shot in the head May 11th. As she reported for Al Jazeera on an Israeli army raid in the occupied West Bank of the Jenin refugee camp, even as she wore a flak jacket and helmet, clearly marked press, Palestinian groups and several media organizations, including CNN, The New York Times, Al Jazeera, have determined Abu Akleh was killed by Israel's military. So is the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem, which accused the Biden administration of whitewashing her death. Shireen Abu Akleh's niece, Lina Abu Akleh, responded to the State Department's findings Monday.
We were expecting that such an investigation would actually hold the perpetrators accountable and would carry out a transparent investigation that is free from any political pressure. However, that was not the case. We will continue to call for justice. We will continue to call on the U.S. to carry out a transparent investigation by an independent body. In addition, we continue to call on the U.N. and the ICC to carry out an investigation and hold Israel accountable and put an end to this grotesque impunity that Israel continues to endure.
We're joined now by the Dutch-Palestinian analyst Muin Rabbani, who is co-editor of the online journal Jadalia and hosts the Connections podcast. He's former senior analyst, Middle East, and special advisor on Israel-Palestine with the International Crisis Group. Muin, thank you for joining us. Talk about the significance of what the U.S. found, because, in fact, they are pointing the finger at Israel, but it comes to the issue of accountability, not to mention they're coming after The New York Times, CNN, a number of news organizations, and the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem have said that this was Israeli gunfire.
Yes. I mean, the significance of the U.S. so-called investigation is not what they found, but what they chose not to find. In my view, it was a foregone conclusion that the U.S. would find a way to give Israel a pass on the summary execution of the legendary Palestinian journalist, Palestinian-American journalist, I should add, Shireen Abu Akleh. And what this report has basically done is say, you know, it's likely that it was this, but the only definitive conclusion that we can reach was that this was not an intentional act and the result of tragic circumstances. In other words, what the U.S. has done is attempt to throw sufficient doubt on the facts of the case, and thereby ensure that Israel will not be held accountable for its actions with respect to the murder of Shireen Abu Akleh. And I think that's the long and short of it. And I think I would also add that anyone who expected a serious investigation of this case has an at best limited understanding of U.S.-Israeli relations, because again, in my view, it was always a foregone conclusion that the U.S. government would put Israel's political interests ahead of justice and accountability for a murdered U.S. citizen who is also a Palestinian journalist.
On Tuesday, AP reporter Matthew Lee questioned State Department spokesperson Ned Price. This begins with the State Department spokesperson, Price.
Given the totality of circumstances, given the totality of facts that became available and that were made available to the U.S. Security Coordinator and his team, they found no reason to believe that it was an intentional killing, but rather the result of tragic circumstances in the course of a raid.
Okay, and then how did they come to a determination that there was, that they could not conclude that there was intent or a lack of intent? And how did they come to a conclusion that it was—I mean, they basically didn't come to any conclusion.
What they did,
so can you explain how it is that you're able to say that there's no evidence of intent, no matter who did the shooting?
Right. Well, that's exactly what they find, what they found, or precisely what they didn't find.
Exactly. Finding nothing.
Well, they found no reason to believe this was intentional. But again, they didn't find any reason that it wasn't intentional. The totality of the circumstances, based on the two investigations to which they were granted access, based on the site visit to the site of Ms. Abu Akleh's death, led them to the conclusion that this was the result of tragic circumstances during this IDF-led operation.
So, Muin Rabbani, if you can respond to this. And also, I mean, you also had the funeral for Shireen attacked by the Israeli military, where the casket almost fell to the ground as the pallbearers were attacked.
Pallbearers were physically assaulted by Israeli police and security forces during the funeral of Shireen Abu Akleh in East Jerusalem. It was just one of a number of incidents by the Israeli forces on the day of her funeral. I should add, Matthew Lee has been on the State Department's case and its prevarications when it comes to matters Israeli-Palestinian for years, so all credit to him for following this one as well. But, I mean, can one imagine Ned Price responding similarly if a Ukrainian-American journalist had been shot by a Russian military sniper in eastern Ukraine? It's just inconceivable. And again, what is happening here is the U.S. is making very clear that the only definitive conclusion they can reach is that Israel is essentially innocent of the murder of a U.S. citizen. And you know, that's the outrage, but that's also the nature of U.S.-Israeli and U.S.-Palestinian relations and U.S.-Middle East policy.
So talk about the upcoming visit of President Biden to Israel and to the occupied territories and the significance of this, how what they're saying about Shireen Abu Akleh plays into this.
Well, as the political analyst and writer Trita Parsi recently wrote, when it comes to the Middle East, Biden's first term is, for all intents and purposes, identical to Trump's second term. And certainly, when it comes to this issue, the Biden administration's policy has been to maintain the status quo, to deepen the initiatives that were undertaken by Trump and the sorcerer's apprentice, Jared Kushner, during the last administration. The emphasis of the Biden administration is very much one of furthering the normalization of diplomatic and economic and security relations between Israel and conservative Arab monarchies, with Saudi Arabia being considered the big prize. And with specific reference to Shirin Abu Akleh, it seems to me fairly self-evident that what Anthony Blinken and other U.S. officials told the Palestinian leadership is that unless you hand over the bullet that killed Shirin Abu Akleh and allow us to put this matter to rest by essentially saying that no conclusion can be reached, we're not going to throw you the bone of a presidential visit to the Palestinian Authority leadership. And that's essentially what happened.
Muin, I wanted to get your response to what's happening now. On Wednesday, the Israeli military conducted large-scale raids across occupied West Bank, detaining at least 42 Palestinians, shooting dead a 20-year-old man named Rafiq Riyad Ghanem during a raid in the village of Jabba near Jenin. This coming just 3 days after the Israeli military shot dead 18-year-old Palestinian Kamel Awana in the same village. These are the areas that Shireen covered for so long in these kinds of actions.
Yes, I mean, you know, it's par for the course. You cannot have a military occupation without consistent, violent repression to maintain that occupation. It's, you know, history over the past few thousand years demonstrates that conclusively. And what you have here is the Israelis focusing in particular on the northern West Bank and Jenin and its environs, because that is an area that is under somewhat less firm control of the Palestinian Authority and its security forces, who have been working very hard to ensure peace and quiet for the maintenance of the Israeli occupation. And it's in that context that you're seeing these constant raids. And it's quite likely also that the murder of Shirin Abu Akleh was in part to scare off the media from that area so that Israel could have a freer hand in conducting the kinds of activities that you just mentioned.
I had to wake up that day to hear that my aunt, Shireen, the veteran journalist, has been killed, doing what she loved the most and what she dedicated her entire life to.
Welcome to This is Palestine. I am Omar Badar. President Biden is planning a diplomatic visit to Palestine and Israel soon, and diplomatic visits to Israel at any time are indefensible. Given that Israel is guilty of the crime of apartheid against Palestinians, denying them their freedom and basic human rights for decades simply for being Palestinian. But the timing of this visit by President Biden is even more egregious, given that it will be barely a couple of months after the Israeli military murdered Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Aqleh. It had initially looked like Biden was going to ignore this murder entirely, which was bad enough, but then things took a turn for the worse. Biden's State Department put out a statement effectively whitewashing the crime of killing Shireen, ignoring the mountain of evidence recounted by eyewitnesses and compiled by credible media investigations, including by CNN and the New York Times and the Washington Post, and even by the United Nations, all laying clear responsibility for this killing with the Israeli military, and more specifically, a sniper who had clearly targeted Shireen when no armed elements of any kind were in the area at all. Biden's State Department decided to say that it could not be determined who fired the bullet for sure, and that even though there are some indications that the Israeli military may be responsible, that it must have been an accident. It is, of course, quite shameful to see a U.S. administration assisting a foreign apartheid government in covering up the killing of an American citizen. And more has to be demanded from this administration to seek real and meaningful accountability for the killing of Shireen. Today, we are speaking with Shireen's niece, Lina Abu Aqleh, about Shireen's life, the tragedy of her killing at the hands of Israeli soldiers, and the question of U.S. accountability. Lina, I want to get your reaction to the Biden administration in a bit, but I want to start with you first. It's been over a month and a half since the killing of your aunt, Shireen Abu Aqleh. Can you describe what this time since has been like for you?
First of all, thank you so much for having me, Omar. The past month and a half now has been very difficult to describe, honestly. It feels like a nightmare that is never going to end. I feel like I'm stuck in a loop. And every day I wake up is Wednesday, May 11th, 7 a.m. was when I heard the news. It's been very difficult. It's very tragic that I had to wake up that day to hear that my aunt, Shireen, the veteran journalist, has been killed, doing what she loved the most and what she dedicated her entire life to. The past 40 days, it feels like it's been very exhausting, but at the same time, we've been overwhelmed by the support, the love, the respect that the entire nation has showed us. I mean, I would have never expected to see this kind of a reaction. And I know for a fact that if Shireen was here, she would have been shocked by the amount of people who've reached out, the amount of people who were at her funeral. I never thought that I would ever hear Shireen being the breaking news and not the one reporting on the news. And most importantly, this one bullet changed our entire lives forever. I feel like I'm currently living on a different planet. I actually feel like I now have a mission in my life, which is to carry her voice and to continue her legacy and her mission.
Obviously, it's not the same kind of loss as you have experienced. But as you said, it's quite remarkable how much she meant to the entire Palestinian society, so much that people withstood getting beaten by Israeli soldiers while carrying her casket and still refusing to let go. Obviously, you were there. Can you tell us what that day was like for you?
You know, I remember the day of her funeral when we were in Jerusalem. I mean, I knew that there will be a lot of people attending her funeral, but I never expected that I'll see tens and thousands of people showing up and uniting
And that to me was phenomenal, to say the least. Despite how the events turned out, despite how the Israeli occupation forces attacked the funeral, attacked the hospital, they were beating people left and right, throwing stun grenades, attacking the pallbearers, and with an intent to drop the casket. Those scenes will be forever ingrained in my memory. It's something that was traumatizing, to say the least. I will never forget the moment where I had to run, but I didn't know what to do in that moment. I felt like I was stuck until I had someone pull me inside the hospital. And I had a moment where I couldn't even feel my legs. I was scared. That's the right word to use. I was scared. It was very scary to have to be at your aunt's funeral and even not let her go in peace because they attacked her. They attacked the funeral. But after that, seeing how steadfast and resilient people were, they were adamant about carrying her. They were adamant about not letting her fall. And that to me was symbolic, because it was the same way Shireen continued to carry the voices of Palestinians throughout her entire 25 years of career. The way she was subject to multiple harassments by the Israeli police, she was attacked multiple times by settlers while reporting. All these moments reflected now during her funeral. It was as if people were repaying her for what she's been doing for them for the past years. So the way she carried their voices throughout the years reflected back on the day of her funeral, from the way the Palestinians wanted to carry her on their shoulders. So that to me was symbolic. And also it showed that Palestinians were united regardless of religion, regardless of political affiliations. They were all together in the heart of Jerusalem, raising the Palestinian flags. And this is what Shireen would have loved to see. And I always say, what would have Shireen reported if she was among the crowd walking and just seeing these tens of thousands of people paying their respects to her? And it honestly gave me hope that there is hope that we can be united. There is hope that Palestine will be free. And for that one day, she was able to unite the Palestinians. And that to me was very emotional. It was symbolic. And it made me happy, to be honest, despite the sadness, despite the tragedy. At the end of the day, I felt very proud that Shireen was able to unite Palestinians from all fronts in the heart of Jerusalem.
Very powerfully said, Lina. I'm sure you know President Biden is about to visit Palestine and Israel, and to describe his administration's behavior here as disappointing is an understatement. And just to recap it for our audience quickly, Biden's State Department basically ignored the mountain of evidence that made very, very clear that an Israeli sniper had targeted Shireen, and instead decided to issue a statement saying they don't know who fired the bullet for sure, that it was impossible to tell, and suggesting that even if Israel were responsible, that it had to be unintentional. Lina, I can only imagine what you felt like hearing those words. And I know that your family has put out a statement of their own reacting to the State Department covering up for Israel's killing of Shireen. For those who have not had a chance to read your family statement, can you talk a bit about your reaction to all of this?
We are not just incredulous, but we are also disappointed, to say the least. Considering the fact that there were numerous eyewitnesses to the killing, and we now have multiple investigative reports by respectable news outlets that clearly stated that Shireen was shot by Israeli soldiers, and that there were no clashes, there were no armed elements in the area where Shireen was murdered in Jenin. Israel, for the past 2 months now, almost, has been using the bullet, which is one of the many evidences, as a way to spin the narrative in their favor and to claim that they cannot conduct an investigation until they have the
the bullet. However, that has is just one of their many narratives that they've been using. In addition, they claim that they have conducted an investigation, but we have not seen any reports from their end to support their claims and to support the evidence. We were hoping that this investigation would actually release a comprehensive and a detailed report and would hold the perpetrators accountable. However, that was not the case. On the contrary, the entire statement parsed over barely relevant details and then assuming good faith on behalf of a recalcitrant and hostile occupying power. Furthermore, yesterday, the State Department spokesperson made it clear that the U.S. did not conduct its own investigation and that the State Department was content with merely summarizing, quote-unquote, Israeli investigations. State Department, when pushed by reporters, conceded that nobody qualified to reach a conclusion about intent, that intent was even present. So I don't understand why did they issue such a damaging and absurd statement. We cannot deny the fact that Shireen was intentionally targeted, and this is part and parcel of Israeli's military that view all Palestinians, civilians, press, paramedics, or otherwise, as legitimate targets. And Shireen wasn't the first case, and she hasn't been the last one. As a family, we were hoping that the FBI or other relevant authorities would actually open a murder investigation, as they would do in ordinary cases when an American citizen is killed abroad. However, it seems like the U.S. in this case and in many other cases regarding Palestine continued to choose its interests with Israel over its the lives of its citizens. This investigation clearly lacked transparency, goals, and at the end of the day, it just supported Israel's overall position, which is, in fact, very disappointing for us. And this is not what we were expecting. But we will continue to call on the FBI to carry out a transparent investigation and for the U.S. to actually conduct an open, transparent, and thorough investigation of all the facts by independent agencies free from any political consideration or influence and pressure, as we saw in this case. We will still call on justice for Shireen and accountability because this isn't just something where you can let the guilty part conduct the investigation. The perpetrator in this case is not qualified and does not have a track record for not conducting transparent investigations. That's why it is it's imperative that the U.S. carries out a transparent investigation and continues its obligation to protect its citizens in the U.S. and abroad.
Well, Lina, there are certainly countless voices here in the U.S. who are demanding that very accountability, and we'll certainly not let up pressure until something changes about American policy because it is utterly indefensible as it stands now. But I'd like to ask you about Shireen real quick, because obviously we all know her as a journalist and an icon, but to you, she was your aunt. And one of the things that gets lost quite often in U.S. media coverage is giving a full picture of Palestinians as full human beings instead of simply as statistics. And on that note, I'm wondering if you can just talk a bit about who your aunt was as a person.
Shireen was more than an aunt to me. She was like my best friend, my second mother, my older sister. And she was also my role model. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I grew up listening to her, watching her work, waiting for her to go live on Al Jazeera. And even there was a time where I remember vividly where she would be sitting on our table, on the dining table. She would be writing her reports, and my grandfather would bring her breakfast and snacks every now and then. I would just be sitting next to her and just watching her work. So she was an inspiration to me. I always wanted to be like Shireen. You know, I used to steal her notebooks, pretend that I know how to read, pretend that I was reporting and using her infamous sign-off. I'd be like, Shireen Abu Akle, Al Jazeera. So I grew up to that. But other than her being a journalist, she was the cool aunt. She was so much fun. She was down to earth, very humble. She loved life. even to the last day. I remember it was Sunday. We were out for our daily, our Sunday lunches. And she was talking about her future plans. She always was optimistic as a person. She was looking, she was striving to do different things. She wasn't just, it wasn't just all about work. She also used to like to enjoy her time. So I used to love spending time with her, whether it was traveling. We loved traveling. Our last trip was to the US. I was in San Francisco and she paid me a visit with her, with my parents. And we had a wonderful time. And she kept saying, Lena, I'm going to keep visiting you. I loved it here. We had so much fun. And we even had plans to for her to visit me again this summer. So as a person, she was compassionate. She was always there for me. Whenever I had any personal or academic or career issues, she was always there for me, regardless how difficult her job was and how demanding. I don't recall any moment where she never would reply to my texts. She was always available, always. And I felt like a part of me died the day I heard the tragic news. So to me, I'm still shocked. I feel like Shireen is still here. I feel like she's traveling and she's going to come back. But then reality hits me and I remember that she's gone, which makes me so sad because I feel like we still had a lot of things to do. We had so many plans, so many places to travel, and so many things to talk about. One of the things that I really enjoyed talking to her about was art. She really loved art. One of her favorite Palestinian artists is Sliman Mansour, Nabil Anani. These were names that I heard growing up, and she was always talking about them. And I really enjoyed talking to her about different things. And also in terms of academics, she was the reason behind the thesis that I chose, that that I did. It was about water and settler colonialism. I remember she once did a report on water in the Jordan Valley. And I was talking to her about it. And I was telling her, Shireen, I don't know what to write about my thesis. I need help. What do you think would be a good idea or a good topic? And we brainstormed. And she was telling me, oh, like a few days ago, I did a report on water, and I immediately was interested in the topic because it's not something that's talked about as often in media and in Western in the Western media and literature. So she has inspired me throughout my entire life, and she's the reason why I even chose my degree in political science, in media, in human rights. So yeah, at the end of the day, and in a nutshell, Shireen was my inspiration. She was a very, very close person to me. I was inspired by her the same way so many young Palestinian women were inspired to be journalists. Not even Palestinian women, but also Arab girls and Arab women. I remember last time I was in Morocco, at an event honoring her, some lady approached me and she told me, your aunt was the reason I became a journalist. And it was very heartwarming. Sorry, I feel like I went on and on and on.
Oh, no, not at all. Lena, it's a really moving glimpse into her life. And I'm struck with you saying that she was an optimistic person, which, you know, for someone like her who was seeing the violence of occupation up close and personal day in and day out, if she can be hopeful and optimistic, then certainly the rest of us have no excuse but to keep up this fight in telling the world about the Palestinian struggle until Palestine is free. Lena, any final thoughts for our listeners?
I just wanted to comment on what you said about her optimism. With regards to Shireen's optimism, I remember once we were driving from Ramallah to Jerusalem and we were talking about the occupation, and she was talking to me about one of, she was having a tough day at work, I remember, and in terms of like reporting and having to pass through the different checkpoints. So we were just talking about the occupation in general, and then bringing it down to her daily experiences as a journalist in Palestine. And I asked her, I was like, Shireen, do you actually think that we will be free one day? And she said it in a very confident and a very optimistic tone. She's like, yes, of course, Lena. We've seen so many empires fall. We saw what happened in South Africa. She kept on like giving me examples. And she's like, yes, we will be free. It may not be during our time, but I am sure that it will be free. This cannot go on. There will be a time where governments, where the international community, public opinion will change. So I was always hopeful. That's why I wanted to continue in the field of human rights related to Palestinians. She was hopeful, and that used to give me some hope. So now with the current situation, I do feel that Shireen, in a way, is guiding me. She's giving me this push, this strength to continue her mission, which is giving voice to the Palestinians who've been silenced and who've been voiceless, spreading the truth about what happened, and most importantly, showing the people that Shireen was one of the many Palestinians who were targeted, who were killed for doing the right thing, which is talking about the truth and spreading the truth. At the end of the day, Shireen used her voice to spread the truth to the world.
Lena, this has been an incredible conversation. Thank you so much for making time to be with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to This is Palestine, a podcast brought to you by the Institute for Middle East Understanding. The IMEU is a nonprofit focused on giving you access to untold stories, facts, and expert sources on all things Palestine. For more information, please visit our website at www.imeu.org and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at the IMEU. Please don't forget to subscribe. I'm Deanna Butu. Thanks for listening.
شيبة رد الكرة. الشور الميدا الميدا الاول مرة شور الميدا الميدا الاول مرة انا 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 صحراوية انا نبقى واسبق لا ما فر والله لا دا لا دا يتمرق برا والله لا دا لا دا يتمرق برا انا 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 صحراويه انا
So that's it for us for today. You're listening to Under the Olive Tree, the Palestine Solidarity Radio Show on CQUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Until next time, I wish you a free, free Palestine.
This summer, I'm going to avoid spreading COVID-19. It's easy. I'll wear a mask in crowded places. If I have symptoms, I'll self-isolate and do a rapid test. If I test positive, I'll stay home for at least 5 days. And for the next 5 days, I won't visit anyone who's at risk. I'll avoid social events like festivals and gatherings. And I'll limit my activities to only the most essential, all while wearing a mask.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Empathy, motivation, hope, and ingenuity.
But above all, it takes a second dose of vaccine.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Aller avec toute la famille?
Pas bête, ça! Moi, je vais demander mon vaccin restaurant. Ça me manque les soirées improvisées avec les amis.
Hey, moi, j'y vais. Je pense pas qu'il fonctionne contre les retards, ce vaccin-là.
La vaccination nous rapproche de tous ces moments. Suivez la séquence de vaccination prévue dans votre région et prenez rendez-vous à québec.ca/vaccin-COVID. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.